When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A lot of Jaden Daniels conversation brewing around news wires right now. Did he not have a good meeting with the Washington Commanders? Does he not want to go number two overall? And this is smoke season. And I'm not saying there isn't some potential concern here or that this is all true information. We're going to dissect it. The problem is nobody knows anything. Even Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, they only know so much. So I'm here to give you my take on it. There's no concrete information. Even Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter will tell you, and they have, that it doesn't matter what a player wants. He's going where he gets selected. But are people blowing this out of proportion, or is there a real strong chance that JD5 doesn't go to the Washington Commanders and they go Drake May? I'm breaking it all down and more, and I'll tell you why it would be a mistake. And the fact that anybody thinks that JD5 isn't by far and away the best quarterback in this draft class, if anybody truly believes Caleb Williams is better than this man, JD5, if anybody believes that Drake May is better than this man, JD5, I've got news for you. I'm going to send you on a lap, and we're going to talk about why this is the best quarterback prospect we've seen come out of college in over a decade. And he's going to be better than Lamar Jackson. And if Washington and Chicago pass on him, we already know Chicago's going to. However, we got some time left. People have climbed before. Levis was talked about potentially being the number one overall pick, if you remember correctly. And then he plummeted in the draft. You guys have to keep that in mind before we start acting like we know exactly what's going to happen. Because I don't know. You don't know. Adam Schefter doesn't know. Ian Rappaport doesn't know. No one really knows. We can only put the pieces together, come in, make educated guesses, and be wrong over 50% of the time in terms of draft landing spot predictions. The Fantasy Football Show, Jaden Daniels Emergency Live Stream, 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday show, begins right now.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
Lots of information to cover today. A majority of this show will be, we'll touch on a little Ayuk stuff, J.K. Dobbins, there's more news coming out, we'll break all that down for sure, but we're gonna focus a lot on Jaden Daniels, because I want to make something abundantly clear. I came out about January and said that JD5 was my clear number one overall player. So much confidence behind that prediction, I put him on the Saturn Men list.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
So confident that he was one of the very first Saturn, Moon, Mars men to go on these lists. And these lists are full. Look at them.
The Saturn men.
One small.
He's on a shuttle tomorrow.
The Moon men. Dropping loads and out.
We have a full slate of guys on these lists. And Jaden Daniels was one of the very first to hit any of those lists, because I wanted to get people aware. I wanted awareness around how good Jaden Daniels is going to be. Jaden Daniels is coming for everyone. And the fact that people don't understand that he is head and shoulders above Drake May, head and shoulders above Caleb Williams, head and shoulders above everybody, is head-scratchingly confusing to me. Because once it's all said and done, these people that think they know that McCarthy's got a potential shot to be better than Jaden Daniels are going to be real confused when they see him come out looking better than AR5 was looking before AR5 got hurt, which was top five fantasy football value. This guy can run better than any quarterback in this draft class. This guy can throw better than any quarterback in this draft class. And the fact that people are peddling out stupid information, ridiculously dumb and misguided information that he's got a weak arm, that he's not the best passer in this draft class, you don't know what you're talking about. And I have an open phone line for you to call in and tell me. I'll even put the number on screen. If someone wants to come in here and tell me right now in the middle of my monologue, and if you aren't going to call to tell me that, I'll hang up on you. But for anybody that wants to call in and tell me this isn't the best quarterback, the best arm in this draft class, my phone line is wide open. It's sitting there for you to call in. He's the best thrower in the class. The reason some of you doubters, you Donnie doubters about Jaden Daniels are confused is because he's also the best runner. How can you do two things at once, Smitty? Can he chew gum and walk at the same time? Oh, he's too small. Okay, he's too small, Smitty. Let me go over the actual facts of what went down. Jaden Daniels, Penix Jr., Drake May, the plethora of elite quarterbacks, McCarthy, they were brought in during a group joint meeting. And some reports suggest that these quarterbacks weren't necessarily made aware that this would be a group meeting type of function. And there are reports, Adam Schefter went on the Pat McAfee show and talked about it. There are some reports from Schefter being one of those sources that says that JD5, he imagines, okay, understand that he's speculating here. He imagines based on JD5's agent's reaction to the group meeting where the agent of JD5 put a tweet up that had one of those thinking emojis. That's really all he said about the group meeting. And the report is, and Schefter's suggesting that the agent of Jaden Daniels is not happy that his client was not brought in individually and was put in a situation where he was not being treated like the number two overall pick, like the Chicago Bears are doing, courting only Caleb Williams. This is almost like some people would say dating multiple people at the same time and putting him in a very disrespectful position. You're very much leaning toward person number one, but you're going to put person number one in a vulnerable position in terms of how they view you if you're going to come in and say, I'm going to bring these other two or three people into the equation and just see how you all do. I'm going to probably pick you, but let's see how you do when I bring two or three more people in. There's a reason to argue this is bad. There's a reason to argue this is good. I get both sides, and if you told me to flip the script on either one of these stances, I could do it. I could literally go, there's nothing wrong with this. Like, toughen up, Buttercup. Pull your big boy pants up and deliver in a group setting. Who cares? Some suggest that ownership, Harris, the main owner of this Washington Commander team, was only available to meet at that time, so they decided to have everybody come in together. Also, this has been stretched and twisted and cut up to paint narratives for people that want to paint certain narratives about certain topics. Why do they want to do that? Because they want to double down. They've dug themselves a hole. They have committed to the news. You know how I adjust and adapt to everything? I adjust and adapt to fantasy football. If I think that, let's say, Mixon's going to have a bad year this year because he's an old man and he's falling apart and he goes through a great situation, but I just don't think he's going to stay healthy. And I quietly think that the Houston Texans are going to be one of the best, craftiest rookie running back landing spots in fantasy football. Understand that and know that that's true. Yeah. Mashed potatoes. Okay, number one. Could I change my mind? Could Mixon come out tomorrow and look like an absolute superhero? He absolutely could. And I reserve the right as a human being to change my mind, adjust and adapt, and bring you the information as soon as I feel the change. I'm not here to hold your hand from start to finish and say, I'm sorry, I told you that this player was going to be bad or this player was going to be good. I changed my mind. People crying, Calebs, get into my chat and they say, Smitty, I'm really disappointed in you. You said that you were going to love Najee Harris the entirety, the year that he had the Liz Frank injury. You're going to love him the entire season. And now you find out he has a Liz Frank injury and now you're jumping off and I invested in him in all these drafts. I adjust and adapt. Just like I adjust and adapt, and I never apologize, never will. I'll never stop doing it. My job is to tell you how I'm feeling the moment I'm feeling it, no matter how uncomfortable that makes you, no matter how bad it pisses me off that the guy's on a moon man list. No matter what, I will change, I will adjust and adapt for you because I work for you. But what I also do is adjust and adapt to news. I adjust and adapt to everything. If my door opens right now and little Smitty comes into this door and wants a little kiss and a hug goodnight, I've got to adjust and adapt and take care of that, then come back to my show. It is what it is. I adjust and adapt to news. And I can continue to do that. I will continue to do that. And I can be objective about stuff. But a lot of people can't. They hear a piece of news. They like to cut it up to continue to paint the narrative they've been shoveling out there. And they don't want people to be... They don't want to be afraid to look like maybe they didn't know what they were talking about. Things change. This is a news smoke season. You get smoke. You hear it. You talk about it. Ends up being wrong. You say that news was wrong. You adjust and adapt. You don't marry yourself to a certain topic in a smoke season ever-evolving news cycle that is January through May. Like, you gotta adjust and adapt. Here's where I'm going with this, if you're wondering. Is Jaden Daniels, is there a world where I'm adjusting and adapting? I'm just telling you how it could be. Is there a world where he has had an interest in places other than Washington? Is there a world where he's offended? Absolutely. Does he have control over where he goes? No, he does not. Can he influence where he goes by looking like a upset, like, and I'm not saying he is, but if he wanted to look like an upset type of reactor to this, like, and make the Washington Commanders go, this feels like Bo Callahan all over again. Did anybody attend your birthday party, Jaden? Could they go that direction? Sure. So he does have influence in making the Commanders think he did not handle this well. And if he doesn't want to go to Washington, let's just say, I'm not saying that's true, then he could approach it like that. He could act like this is pissing him off, and maybe that will influence whether the Washington Commanders draft him or Drake May. Maybe this is one of those ridiculous tests, like at the end of the book, you put $100 at the end of the playbook to see if anybody read through it, like on draft day. Stupid example. That was such a dumb example. But maybe this is a Washington Commander test. Here's the thing. Who cares? Who cares? And do we really know he's pissed off? We don't. Can we assume he might be? Sure. Do you want to be catered to, talked to, like you're the number two overall pick and I don't want to hear you're dating other people? Absolutely. Could it have pissed him off enough to say, I want to go elsewhere? Maybe. Does he want to go to the Raiders, like a lot of people suggest? I do believe he has interest in that. I would want to go to 100 different teams. Really only under 20, but you know what I'm saying. I'd want to go a bunch of different places. It doesn't offend me if I'm a Washington Commander decision maker and I hear he likes the Raiders. I believe he wants to go to Washington. Do I think he's maybe a little turned off by this process? Maybe. Should he be? Not really. Bill Belichick brought in 12 quarterbacks at one point in a group setting interview before. Everybody does this different. And you need to learn how to adjust and adapt as a prospect as well. And I believe he will. Was he upset? Maybe. Was his agent more upset than he was? Maybe. Maybe his agent's the only one being upset. Adam Schefter did say that he believes by the reaction of the agent that most likely Jaden Daniels is upset. But if you watch this guy on IG Lives, he's calm. He's a calm cat, a cool cat, collective. This guy's an absolute gem. And I don't know, you don't know, no one knows. Adam Schefter doesn't even know because he said, I'm assuming Jaden Daniels was upset because his agent and his agent's reaction, but we don't know. And even if he was, he has no control unless he influences them by his reaction to the group meeting. It makes him turned off. He has no influence whether he's going there or not. And so I don't think this changes anything. I will say that the odds makers are talking about this thing as if it's I'm sorry, that's the wrong graphic. As if this is a moving, evolving thing. I think I have the odds somewhere on screen here. I can send them to myself. But I believe the odds went from 78% likely that Jaden Daniels goes number two overall to the Washington Commanders. it dropped 21% to 57%. So the odds makers who are not necessarily going to predict this thing, a lot of the lines move based on the people betting on each side, right? So it doesn't even really tell you. It tells you more about what the public's thinking. But 78% likely that he was going to go number two overall has gone down to 57, 21% drop. Still, it's still likely. It's just less likely according to the random Joe and the Vegas odds. I'll just tell you this. I don't know if he's pissed off, how mad he is. I don't know if he's mad at all. He might not be. He might be laughing at this entire thing. And the bottom line is, it might have went a lot better than you think. And back to what I was saying about people painting narratives to the tune of their article or their opinion they've been shoveling out there. Does anybody ever stop to think that this wasn't really a total group setting situation? No, they don't. But the report was from Adam Peters, GM of the Washington Commanders, is this was not some huge group meeting the entirety of the time. At the end, they all hung out, they all talked and had a good time in a group setting, but they were seen individually. And he said they staggered in at different times. This was a one-on-one setting on the same day. And nobody's painting that picture that way. They're just saying that you brought him into a room, handed him a water bottle and said, sit down in your chair like it's a school setting and let's see how you handle this grilling of questions coming at you. This was a one-on-one setting for each of the quarterbacks, staggering coming in at different times. And then at the end of it all, they all got together in the same room and hung out for a little while. So that's also something that I think that maybe his agent wasn't happy about initially, but then at the end of it wasn't that upset. And you could say his agent was mad. He's trying to negotiate already with this value. And he's mad because that's his client. He's mad that anybody's even being considered right now. And maybe he's acting ridiculous and out of pocket. And Jaden Daniels maybe isn't even happy about how he's acting publicly about it. We don't know. The answer is we don't fully know. All we know is what Adam Schefter has speculated based on the agent's reaction. Let me tell you something. Right here, right now, Jaden Daniels is the number one quarterback in this draft class. It isn't even close. Caleb doesn't hold a candle to him. Caleb's not even my number two anyway. Penix Jr. is my number two. Something I also put up on the Marsman list in January before people ever saw it coming. And even through the lows, and they've been bad. Where he's dropped into the second round. He's not even a first rounder anymore. Smitty, when are you going to give up on this Michael Penix Jr. pipe dream? And I said, I'm not. This big Penix Jr. energy is going to rapture back onto the scene. And it sure did. And now he's climbed into the top 15 overall. And some people say it's ridiculous that he's going to be a first rounder. Some say there's no way he could be a top 10 overall pick. I've got news for you. Levis was supposed to go potentially 1, 2, 3, or 4, and he fell all the way out of round 1. How do you like them apples? How do you like the way the draft unfolds, son? Because it's different every year. Everybody thinks they know what they're talking about. Smoke season is very, very gruesome, and nobody knows what's truly coming. Penix Jr. could be the second or third quarterback taken. He's arguably the second best NFL-ready quarterback behind Jaden Daniels by a lot. And I don't care what anybody says about Caleb. You can call in and talk about him all day long. I don't think Caleb has the intangibles right now anyway to become the player that the expectations are setting him up to become. Do I think he'll walk in and bust right out of the league? No. I think Caleb will linger. Caleb will be a good, mediocre type quarterback that doesn't get the job done, just like Fields was a good and mediocre quarterback in Chicago, even though we all know he was capable of so much more, and he gets to prove that in Pittsburgh. So will Caleb play decent, have ups and downs, and fail in Chicago to the tune of being the savior? I believe he will. Chicago has no track record whatsoever of developing an elite quarterback. And now they bring in Shane Waldron from Seattle to be the guy that's supposed to make him into king, the kingmaker, Shane Waldron. It's not the right person for the job. Not to mention, you throw that guy into this mix in an organization that continuously fails quarterbacks over and over and over. Fields did not fail. The Bears failed him. Is Fields broken? Yes, he is. Is he fixable? We don't know. I believe he is, but he's in Pittsburgh ready to try and repair his career and his ability to climb and prosper and mature and become a better quarterback every single day. He's on a tipping point of where he's going to fall off the face of the earth or flip it back in the other direction and explode. Is Fields fixable? I believe he is. Is he guaranteed to be fixable? No, he's not. He's a prospect now because Chicago failed him. Let me just say this right here and right now. This is the best quarterback downfield thrower in the draft, and there are stats to back it up. Anybody that says this man has a weak arm, we had a few people in the chat. I don't even know who it was. I was told in the chat a few people were saying he has a weak arm, or I heard he has a weak arm. You heard what? Stop repeating what you're hearing from these garbage content creators if they're telling you that JD5 has a weak arm. He's the number one deep throw quarterback in this draft class. What is wrong with people? Where are you getting your information? This guy had four INTs in 2023. This guy was the best QB in the pocket in 2023 with 35 touchdowns passes in the pocket alone. He threw 40, five of them outside of the pocket. He threw 35 pocket touchdowns, number one in FBS. You don't know what you're talking about if you think Jaden Daniels doesn't have the best gun in this draft class. Of passes over 20 yards, he was first in FBS. Passes over 20 yards. First in FBS in yards per attempt, 11.5. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is not in 20 yards. This was first in yards per attempt, period. 11.5. First in FBS 2023, yards per attempt. 67% completion percentage on 20 plus yards in 2023, which is the best in FBS history in the last 10 years. So you are absolutely running your mouth and don't know what in the hell you're even saying if you suggest this isn't the best deep ball passer in this draft class. The stats prove it. 67% completion percentage on 20 plus yard passes in 2023, best in FBS in the last 10 years. Last three games, and this comes from an ESPN report. Last three games, he had 11 TDs and zero INTs inside the pocket. Oh, he's just a running quarterback. 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, only four INTs, 1,134 on the ground and 10 TDs. And probably the most impressive stat that there is bottom line is that he was able to accomplish 38-12 and 40 touchdowns and 40 INTs while consuming a lot of his workload while running the ball. How do you have time or even field or yardage or attempts to even get 3,840 touchdowns when you're doing this much running around? All these stats prove he's the number one gunslinger in the national or in FBS coming out of 2023, and the number one quarterback gunslinger, deep ball thrower, best arm in this class, period. Without hesitation, without argument, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have nothing but a blank stare when you suggest Caleb's got better intangibles to bring to the table. Statistically, he does not. Caleb has a lot of drama he's bringing to the table. That's Jaden Daniels in a nutshell. More mediocre mids being looked at by the Chargers. You guys are going to eventually, the Charger believers are eventually going to come around and say, okay, remember, I'm not saying that this is going to be a busting type situation for Harbaugh. He could succeed doing this, but he's going to be so unfriendly to fantasy because he's already looking at more mids. DJ Chark coming in for a visit. The more they look at wide receivers, the more I think they're either trading out of the pick, number five overall, or they're not taking Neighbors. I don't know what they're going to do here. Offensive line or trade down, maybe Bowers, but offensive line feels more likely than any other scenario right now. Or trading down and still getting offensive line. Or maybe trading down and getting a receiver, but This is a coach, whether it works or not, again, not predicting bust out of Harbaugh, predicting a bunch of mids coming together to play good football. Defensive football. Run between the tackles, grit it out, drain the clock. Three or four-headed running back monster with no real indication as to who's going to be the guy behind a bunch of mids. If Chark gets signed by the Chargers, then I don't know what that means for their wide receiver prospects in this draft class. J.K. Dobbins, Chargers running back, which is ridiculous that they bring this guy in. He's got an ACL history, right? Which isn't a big deal, but he's the most injury-prone running back that's currently actively playing competitive football. Akers and J.K. are the two most injury-prone running backs in the National Football League, period. And Penny, who's getting looked at right now, too, as well. And this guy's coming off an Achilles tear. Zero running backs. Zero. In the history of the NFL, let me repeat this for you, for those in the back. Zero running backs have ever become a top 10 running back or return to top 10 running back status, if they were a top 10 running back, after an Achilles tendon tear. Zero. This is the injury that crushes the hopes and dreams of all running backs. No running back has ever bounced back. Running back. Not Durant. Not a defensive back. Not Aaron Rodgers or Cousins or a quarterback. Running back that's responsible for hitting a hole that's going to close quicker than you can imagine. That's all about explosion. And you don't get your explosiveness back, if ever, for many years. It doesn't matter. This is the worst pick in fantasy. Don't go near him. I don't care where you get him. Give me Frank Gore Jr. without even knowing where he's going to land before you give me J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins has zero chance to do anything. He's the most injury-prone player. The odds of him tearing his other Achilles tendon are higher than him staying healthy. I mean, take what you want from that. This is not a situation you want to go through. Just avoid him. Just walk away. There's so many people that just want so badly. They're rooting for the underdog. They want so badly for J.K. to do it. They just keep hoping and hoping. It's not going to happen. Sean Payton, there's a real possibility that the Broncos are open to trading up for a QB. You bet they're open to trading up for a QB. This is a team that needs to do exactly what the Niners did. You botched the quarterback position. What's the best way to get people to stop talking about it or thinking about it? You go find yourself a gem. And Brock Purdy has been that so far, not locked in for the future. We'll see what 2024 holds for him. If the team starts to unravel, McCaffrey's 28, Kittle's getting older, Debo's, you know, could get injured at any moment, the way that he takes abuse and the way Shanahan runs these guys. There's no telling what Brock Purdy looks like in 2025. We'll find out. But you've solved that problem right now, and no one's talking about the debacle of trading up for Trey Lance and giving up all of that draft capital and botching the hell out of the situation. And I don't blame Trey. I blame the Niners. And so what do you do if you're in that situation? You kind of are in Denver. You're paying a man an astronomical amount of money to not play football for you. You need to trade and go get yourself a quarterback, an opportunity to erase the memory and stink of this situation. And if you're Sean Payton, you're still attached to it. Even though you didn't bring it into the building, you were the one that made the decision to sever the ties and get rid of the most expensive, ungodly contract, the worst dead cap hit we've seen ever. This is $50-plus million you're having to pay in dead cap to just move on. And you were in corrupt fashion, Sean Payton, as a head coach that I lost a lot of respect for him, and this whole organization, Denver, for telling Russell Wilson last year when he started to kind of cook again, hey, we need to take away your injury clause or we're going to bench you. Right in the middle of him kind of resurging a little bit. He wasn't totally back, but he was looking good. And they went to him in illegal fashion, told him, we're going to bench you if you don't take away your injury clause. The NFL should have taken action. The NFL did tell him, the NFLPA, the NFL said this is not legal, you can't do that. Then they called him into the office and said, remember that conversation we had? Forget we had it. Just move forward. Go ahead. Have a good Sunday, pal. You're starting again. The NFL should have taken away a draft pick. This number 12 overall should be ripped from the Denver Broncos. I'm sorry, Denver Bronco fans, but you should not have this 12 overall pick. That right there should have been as bad as taking a dive, because you're essentially taking your best player off the field, regardless of whether he's a shell of himself. You're taking your best player off the field for a very corrupt reason. You are fixing the game. If he doesn't take away his injury clause, you're going to bench your star player. Denver should lose their first round draft pick. Sean Payton, I lost a lot of respect for, and I wonder how the man's mind works now. Has he lost it? Can he rejuvenate this situation? I don't think so. I'm not betting on Sean Payton until he proves me wrong. This feels like a disaster. I don't know who's going to end up in Denver. It feels like McCarthy. It feels like McCarthy. A, because I feel like I don't believe in McCarthy like everybody else, and I feel like this is going to continue to go down a road that I doubt, because I doubt the decisions of Sean Payton. So I wonder if they go for a quarterback that I don't like. It makes sense to me that they're going to end up having McCarthy. I just think that it feels like a McCarthy feels like a Sean Payton move. It feels like a Denver move, and I can picture him in Denver for some reason. I don't think McCarthy's horrible. I just don't think the expectation is fair. I think the expectation's way too high. I think this is a mid-range quarterback in the NFL. I think this is a starter. I think this is a guy that can float in the 15 to 20 overall range in NFL quarterback stats and production. There's nothing wrong with that. I just think that's where he should be evaluated. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think there's a world where he can't over-deliver and even impress me. But as a prospect, and what he becomes are two different things. Kurt Warner, as a prospect, nobody wanted him. Tom Brady, as a prospect, barely anybody looked at him. And there are, time and time again, Jalen Hurts is a very doubted prospect from a lot of perspectives. A lot of people doubt a lot of different players. And we've seen players fall in the draft and then become monsters. We've seen players go high and bust out right away. I'm not saying McCarthy's a bust. I'm saying McCarthy's expectation as a prospect right now is undeserving. And could he get there in the right spot? Sure. But back to the news at hand, I believe they do want to actively trade up for a QB. I hope Penix Jr. doesn't go there. If he does, I'll support him. I think Penix Jr. can help revive the situation. He'll have the best shot to do it. Do I think he'll have some limitations because of this man? Maybe. But I will support Penix Jr. and believe in him. Sirianni wasn't somebody that I absolutely loved either. I loved Steichen. I love Kellen Moore. I don't love Sirianni, but I believe and support the Eagles, and I think the Eagles win the NFC Championship this year. But I don't love Sirianni. So this is okay. It's workable. It's doable. But will he make the right decisions to get the right quarterback in there to help this succeed? I don't know. That's all the news that I have right now. Again, earlier, Brandon Ayuk will not participate in voluntary workouts. They're voluntary. Let I remind everybody that they're not mandatory. There's been all kinds of fake mud being thrown at the wall in regards to Ayuk. Some of it is worthy of reporting on if you do it responsibly, and other people report on it and then try and act like they've got insider information. And it's getting really annoying to watch non-journalists, guys with no background whatsoever, pretend to be news-breaking agencies and networks when they have little to none experience at all in the industry. They just created a big Twitter or Instagram page and call themselves news reporters. You want to be a glorified fan page or a glorified NFL graphic page, fine. But don't act like you're a news company of any sort when you have no journalism experience, no NFL radio experience, no experience whatsoever. You haven't written for a Bleacher Report or something as an intern or just doing a side gig for like 2 or 3 years. You got nothing to bring to the table and you're breaking news. God, it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for the people that are breaking news that have no experience whatsoever, because you're just taking stabs at the dark. You're hoping you're right, and people are buying it, which is even more embarrassing. Imagine following a news page that you don't even know who's behind it, and it's some 16-year-old kid waiting on Ma's meatloaf that creates amazing graphics and does impressively create a 100-page 100,000 follower Instagram account or a Twitter account or whatever. It's impressive what they've done. But imagine following that page as if it's gospel in the news world when these guys don't have a lick of credibility and everybody's trying to make a name for themselves. No one's going to follow you because you say, oh, I believe Ayuk's getting traded, and he gets traded. We all know Ayuk could get traded. That's not news. To suggest it's going to happen here or there, or he's going to request a trade. Of course he might request a trade. Might being the key word. Very good shot. He still requests a trade because the NFL draft is leveraged. These teams need wide receivers now. They won't need wide receivers after the draft. The time to request a trade is now if he's going to do it. But the fact that people said he officially requested a trade and the Score reported it, Sleeper reported it. I think Sleeper reported it through another party that feeds them NFL news stuff. And then that NFL news wire retracted, pulled it off, deleted it. And so it was gone from Sleeper. So it's not necessarily Sleeper that posted it, but these big name places had it up and then they took it down. That's not journalism. Journalism's dead because a real journalist would have said, here's another report. We were wrong on that, blah, blah, blah. And you keep it up. You could even put an edit above it or whatever. But to delete your misstep is no integrity at all. I lose all respect for a page or a network or a news organization if they're going to delete the misstep that they fired out there. That's not journalism. End of the day, what do I expect out of Brandon Ayuk? I think there's a real good chance that he requests a trade or soft requests a trade through an interview, right? That's typically the way you do it. Why would you do that? Do you want out? No, not necessarily. But as a player wanting money and not getting it, wanting that show of respect. In some ways, it's not about money, but the money shows the respect. So it is about the money ultimately. But he wants to feel like he's getting paid. He's watching Ridley get paid. He wants to get paid like the big dogs. And he doesn't want to watch the leverage that he might have, right? So you're the Niners saying, don't worry, we're going to sign you. Don't worry. He's going, but my leverage is now, if you're lying to me and we get to the table and you're offering me 23.5 or 24, and I think I'm worth 27.5, 28, and we're not going to be able to even meet in the middle, my leverage point right now, the only leverage I have, I don't have much leverage because I'm under contract. My leverage point is to apply pressure through requesting a trade and then to get other parties to inquire. That's what we're at. That's where we're at. Does he request a trade? Does he not? I don't know. I imagine he's strongly thinking about it. Him and his camp are saying, if we're going to do it, we better do it right at, in the weekend here, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. So we have enough time for teams to pick up the phone and go, hey, San Fran, I hear he wants out. We'll give you this, this, and this. We're not trading him. Oh, you'll give us that, huh? Hold on. They're going to give us a trade down. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the phone, and they're going to trade. Hold on one second, John. They're going to trade us this 20 pick. They take our 31, and they give us a conditional second if he plays X amount of games. Yeah, we were going to say no, but that offer is pretty damn good. You want to talk to Ayuk about the details in his contract? Oh, you already? Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. You'll pay him $28 million a year? Okay. Well, this all worked out. We never expected this to happen. Ayuk, pack your bags. That's how it works. If anybody thinks it doesn't work like that, they don't know ball. They especially don't know the offseason. Tyreek Hill already mapped this out. His agent called him up. We're going to request a trade. Tyreek said, why? I don't want to go anywhere. Don't worry. It's a tactic. It'll get you more money. Okay. Send the information out there. Started to open doors. And then before you know it, Tyreek Hill said he's about to sign his deal. I believe it was the Davante Adams deal came in. And once the bigger amount got dropped, Tyreek said, wait a minute. And he said he was literally about to sign it. And he's like, wait a minute, Adams' deal's bigger. I want more money now. KC then said, we can't do it. And he said, well, I can get this contract over here and the taxes are different. So I actually make a whole bunch more money. The reason Tyreek Hill decided he wanted to go was because of taxes and that he would make a lot more money on the actual same number. And then the Chiefs said, you know what? Just do it. The offer's too good to pass up. Do it. Let's get rid of him. And they moved on, and everybody laughed, and then they started winning championships, which is a whole nother story. Anyway, dial in if you guys want to have a conversation around this. Call into the phone line brought to you by Grindhouse.com.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
GRNDHAUS.com. Learn about it. Call into the phone line sponsored by and brought to you by Grindhouse.com. Your boy's here to discuss any and all topics on screen. While I do want to, as much as we can, stick to these topics that we're talking about right now, I'm obviously open to discussing anything else you have, but please try and present a question or something along these lines if you do call in, and then I can also help you, like I said, with whatever you got. Sebastian, you're live. What is going on? What do you hear? What do you say?
Is Jaden Daniels going to Saturn if he's a Patriot or a non-commander?
He's already on Saturn, bro. You mean are we gonna recall him from Saturn?
Yes.
That would be awkward. I don't think so, bro. Jaden Daniels in New England feels a lot like AR5 in Indy. You know? Like, he did pretty damn good. And he didn't have, like, he doesn't have the weapons everybody else has. Pittman's good, but he's not great. Everyone acts like Pittman is so amazing. He's a good receiver.
But New England coaching and receiving core is way worse.
So here's what I would say. We would temper expectations slightly for the rookie year. I also would need to see what they do at wide receiver. If I had to speculate off of the draft day selection happens, what is New England doing? I think we definitely pumped the brakes a little bit on the rookie year explosion. If Jaden Daniels goes to Washington, he's got McLaurin. He's got a very undervalued Dotson that's easy to give up on because he didn't deliver last year, but all the metrics tell you Dotson did everything right for the most part. It was Howell that didn't get him the ball for whatever reason, even though Howell had success here or there or whatever. This is a quarterback, Howell, that just didn't jive with Dotson. All the metrics say it's almost greenlit. The entire route tree, everything he was doing was not – he's a good receiver, man. I still believe in Dotson. So Dotson, McLaurin, Brian Robinson, Eckler, it's a pretty formidable running crew. It's very underrated. And you put Jaden Daniels in here, you start building around it, you still got other draft picks, you got other moves you can make. This is not over. This is the beginning. You know, the NFL draft is such a, like, you bring in another rookie wide receiver and a very deep wide receiver pool. What if you get Ricky Parasol? What if you get someone of that nature later on? Washington would make him instantly a top 5 to 6 to 10 quarterback. Like, it might take him a few weeks to get there or whatever, but he's got the AR5 potential.
I definitely agree with you there. It's just the whole Drake May buzz, timing. And
the whole Drake May what? The whole Drake May what?
Like, his odds for going number 2 shot up.
Yeah, they shot up, but who's still winning the odds race? I mean, it's still Jaden Daniels. Like, his odds changed a little bit, but who cares? Odds don't mean anything. The Atlanta Falcons were the highest odds getters to get Justin Fields. Where is he at right now? Not even starting. So don't worry about the odds. And I already broke it down. I mean, no one knows anything. I wouldn't assume the worst case scenario here just because Adam Schefter said his agent appears mad, and by proxy, Jaden Daniels is probably upset based on his agent being upset. We still have not heard Jaden Daniels come out and go, "Oh, I feel very disrespected." And again, everybody's, I don't know, they're trying to paint their narrative a certain way with the news, and they're leaving out information. The truth of the matter is this was a group day, not necessarily a group interview. So I feel like people are just telling it the way they want to tell it because they've said it already and they want to double down on what they've already said. It was a individual interview type of process where they all met at the end, and it sounds like, and this was, I believe this is Mike Florio that said this was his speculation, and it makes sense to me that, look, this is maybe when Josh Harris, majority owner of the team, was available and he wanted to do it all on one day. But it was made very apparent that they staggered in. Adam Peters came out and did a press conference after and said they staggered in at different times. Like, this was not a, hey, go in, everybody grab a water bottle and a pamphlet and sit down. Everybody want to scoot to the front as you're spread out in the lecture hall? Scoot to the front. This is not a seminar. This was where they all staggered in. They met with them individually. And then at the end, they wanted to get them all together and have a little, I don't know, it could have been a little bit of a test, but that's fine. Belichick did it with 12 guys. Belichick brought in 12 quarterbacks in a group meeting. This was not even a group meeting. So just relax. Not to mention that even if it pissed him off, doesn't matter. They're still going to draft him, in my opinion. Why? Because Adam Peters knows football. Now, the only concern I have, and this is a real concern because I don't know everything, and there's certainly components to this that might surprise us at the end of the day. I at least admit that those possibilities exist. Little landmines here and there that no one can predict. But the only concern I have is, does Josh Harris have more pull than we know? And this was another thing that was said by a couple different people already, not just coming from me, that there's word around GM circles that he's trying to meddle a little more than anybody expected. And people are wondering if he's going in and saying, you guys can tell me who you want, but just so you know, I have to sign off on it and I got full say. And if he comes in saying, I like Drake May, I like Drake May, I like Drake May, is there a possibility that Adam Peters gets overruled or something? I kind of feel like Adam Peters wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't have a very clear direction as to, you know, the power that he has and ability to make a move in full control. So I do believe at the end of the day, those fears people have are not necessarily going to be totally valid. I believe Peters would not have taken the job if he couldn't have done exactly what he wanted. And I almost feel like Peters is such a man of, I don't know, the right word. I want to say just calculation, that he wouldn't stand quiet if he was told you can't have your guy. I don't think he put up with that. Peters is too good at what he does.
Conviction,
but also proven calculation. I just don't think he'd want to be involved in it if he didn't have a say in guiding us. You know, if he didn't have more control, like if Harris could say, I want May, and Adam Peters is like, wait a minute, I don't want May. I want Jaden Daniels. Doesn't matter. I don't think Peters would stay. I don't think he'd be there. I don't think he would have put himself in the situation without full knowledge and control, you know, knowing what, you know, in writing what he's granted to do. I don't think Kingsbury even controls anything as much as Peters. I think Kingsbury has a heavy hand in it, but I think Adam Peters will tell Kingsbury if he thinks JD5 is the guy, you're getting JD5. And I believe that Kingsbury's so good at architecting offenses, he looks at this guy as a gold mine. This is the best arm in the college class. As we said yesterday to whoever was talking about it recklessly in the chat, saying that JD5's got a weak arm, he's got the best arm in his class. Maybe he can't throw downfield as far as Caleb, let's say. And I don't even know if that's true. I'm just saying, let's say Caleb could throw a duck further than JD5. JD5's precision downfield is the best in the class in terms of throwing past 20 yards. He has more precision and accuracy proven by statistical data that I just put up on screen than Caleb, than anybody. I don't care if Joe Milton's probably got the strongest actual arm in the class. That guy can throw 70 or 80 yards down the field and then do a backflip right after. But that doesn't mean he has the most accurate long game in this draft. JD5 does. And anybody that says different is watching a Mickey Mouse podcast. I'll just tell you that right now. I believe JD5 knows. What?
I said, Terry's also a deep threat type of receiver, too.
Just somebody tell me, how do you throw for almost 4,000 yards and 40 passing touchdowns while you're also running for 1,100-plus yards and 10 scores? How do you have time? How do you have enough plays to do that? How do you have enough plays to execute on that? If you're spending a majority of your time running the ball, 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, you know what you got to do? Make the most of every passing attempt you have, because you have a lot less of them than the average quarterback. There's a reason why Penix threw for more yardage, because Penix Jr. wasn't consuming a lot of his workload with 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground. The fact that JD5 did this, 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 35 from the pocket. 35 touchdowns from the pocket. That's number one in FBS in 2023. Anybody saying JD5 isn't the best pocket passer is running their mouth. And they look embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for him. Let me go over to Travis.
So why is Caleb so special?
He's not.
I'm not questioning his talent.
He's not. All right, Sebastian, hold on. Travis, you're live.
Hey, yeah, I mean, bottom line is, it doesn't matter, like you said, it doesn't matter if he's mad at him, unless, you know, there was such a problem or such a disagreement or something Washington saw that was such a red flag that they don't want him. It's not going to stop them from taking him. That said, if he does fall to three, I can almost 100% guarantee the Patriots take.
Yeah, the Patriots want. They've made it. They left their little note out that said, you know, JD5, no matter what. They left that little crumbled piece of paper on the table on accident.
Yep.
Said that they CC'd the entire league on that one on accident. They're trying to send an internal email that said, we love JD5 at all costs, take him. And they CC'd the entire league. That's how it feels about this. This is the worst kept secret in New England wants JD5. And again, is there a world where he goes three? There is. I can only just say that a lot of things would have to break down for that to happen. Number one, what people are suggesting could be true would have to be true. That Jaden Daniels was very offended by this entire process of meeting with multiple quarterbacks on the same day, which again is not how it actually fully happened. People are not telling the true story. Adam Peters clarified it, said they all staggered and at different times did one-on-one sessions, and then at the end all met together just to mingle. And there was probably a little bit of a test there to see how good they, who commanded the room. Like, it wouldn't even decide necessarily anything. But if someone did get pissed off because of it, maybe that is the test. Maybe they wanted to see if Jaden Daniels was mad. Maybe Jaden Daniels acted like things were absolutely glorious the entire time. Got into his car, called his agent, and this is a realistic possibility, called his agent and said, what the hell was that? Because it was reportedly a little unexpected. No one was made aware fully how it was going to go down. And did his agent then clap back and create a controversy that really didn't ignite anything in Washington to go, oh God, Jaden Daniels is a problem. It was more so he voiced his concern to his agent. This is a worst case scenario to me, because I know Jaden Daniels is not the kind of guy that would have made it his concern.
I was gonna say,
he's not gonna be like, I don't appreciate this, guys. I'm the top guy.
Out of character.
Yeah, he's such a character guy.
Out of character.
But in a worst case scenario, could he have got with his agent after, created a little bit of a, you know, frustrated, you know, vibe? And his agent kind of flew off the handle. Could I? Yeah, that's easily something I could see happen. I could also see something happening like, and we've seen this before, maybe his agent is not representing him the way he actually wants to be represented. What if he fired his agent the next day? Like,
yeah.
I mean, we've seen that stuff happen before. Like, hey, man, you're really crazy. Yep. Stink. What are you doing? Why did you put this little, you know, scratching your chin emoji like a little child and tweet out everybody? Because it did look very... It was very unprofessional, and I believe an agent usually acts in a different way in those scenarios. That is weird, and everybody said it was weird. Everyone was, like, all mad at him. People are saying, shut up. That agent was getting heat from that stupid tweet because it was such a dumb tweet for him to be sending out. So is there just as much likelihood to speculate that, oh, he should fire his agent over this? He mishandled the situation. Like, sure, we don't know what's happening, but bottom line is for JD5 to not go number two, he had to have created a problem in his reaction to the group meeting, failed during his one-on-one interview, which I can guarantee you he didn't, even if he got thrown off a little bit. And that's maybe why they did this, to throw him off right before their one-on-one interview. You're here with a bunch of guys just letting you know, okay, now come in for your one-on-one. and then they're like thrown off. I mean, who knows why they do it? The odds of him failing is in
Top Golf, right?
Yeah, it's top like Top Golf. The odds of him failing at the interview, the odds of being disrespectful about the group meeting, which wasn't even a group meeting until the end to hang out. I'd want to hang out with the guys. Like, what do people have a problem with this for? Because it's the same day? Who cares? Odunze and all these wide receivers, they meet with teams on the same day, and it was staggered and spread out. Like, who wouldn't want to go hang with Michael Penix Jr. if you're, let's say, Jaden Daniels? Or if you're Michael Penix Jr., who wouldn't want to go meet Jaden Daniels and Drake May and just hang out with the boys? Develop that relationship. Who would not want that? Like, that's ridiculous to act like this is such a big deal. Would I have done it this way? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that it's right and wrong. This has been done before. This is not Washington going rogue. A lot of people say that a lot of these coaching... Remember Washington was in the Ben Johnson game and they were potentially trying to bring in these offensive coordinators to become their new head coach. And there was word that some of them felt like this whole basketball team ownership thing was run very, very Mickey Mouse-like. And maybe to a degree, Josh Harris is making it feel that way. And I can't, that's why my one real true concern here is that Josh Harris is meddling. Because I've heard it from a lot of people now. And even Florio talked about that he's hearing that there's a lot of meddling going on by Josh Harris potentially. But that doesn't mean that he's excited. This is his first NFL draft. He's just getting a little over... you know, zealous or whatever, and it gets curbed. And maybe he slows down with it or whatever. I don't know. But a lot of things would have to unravel for Adam Peters to not select JD5. And I think the odds of that are they're a lot crazier than the odds of them passing on him. That's all I'll say. I think the odds of him getting selected, if I had to guess, is 80%. That's still a big number that they might consider Drake May. And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with still wavering, you know, because when you're drafting number two overall in your fantasy draft, you probably know who you're going to take, right? If you've got weeks and weeks to think about it. But are you still kind of wavering going into it? Yeah, I mean, it's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. People are wild, man. People are wild. And they so badly want a downfall. They want to be JD5. I don't know why. I don't know why people are against JD5. Is it because he's a running quarterback? There seems to be a narrative time and time and time and time again for people to tear down running quarterbacks. I don't know why.
I think too, it's like they hear all the different things where people make the excuse of, oh, he's older, he had the bursar sack, he went to two different schools, his receivers were too good, which is the most ridiculous.
Thomas, are you still here?
From people is his receivers were the reason. You know,
yeah, I hate that stupid excuse.
Let's go back then and look at every single receiver, every quarterback has ever thrown through that got drafted.
Look, there's always a complication. Randy Moss came from Marshall, okay? He didn't have good competition. Like, granted, you had to overlook that. You had to look deep into this thing. And if you're going to count against JD5 that he had great receivers, how much responsibility does he have in them becoming great receivers? Like, is Brian Thomas Jr. even remotely close to the same player if he doesn't have one of the most pinpoint accurate quarterbacks in FBS history over the last 10 years? There's an argument to say that this is the most accurate quarterback in the last 10 years in FBS. And if you disagree, call me with your statistic because I'll shut it down.
And think about how much Brian Thomas's draft stock has risen. And I'd say that's a lot of credit to JD5.
Yeah. Thomas.
Nobody's talking about Brian Thomas as a first round pick.
Yeah.
Like
nobody is if JD5's not there. Thomas, are you still here? Dynasty Superflex 0.05 tight end. Kincaid or Devontae Smith? I mean, there's a lot of variables there depending on who your tight end would be if you didn't go the Kincaid side. I love Devontae Smith. I think I think you mean 0.5 premium. I don't think you mean 0.05. 0.05 would be meaningless amounts of points. You're talking about not even, you're talking about a fraction of a, I think you mean 0.5. So 0.5 PPR, meaning that tight ends get a half a point per reception more than the rest of the the crew, then I probably lean Kincaid on this. Go ahead, Ethan the Negative, you're live.
Smitty, help me out here. Maybe I'm a little jealous of J.J. McCarthy and the support he has from Harbaugh, but like, it seemed like the guy showed up in white pajamas, threw a few jogging passes, and then, oh, it's the best pro day ever, period. You know, like, I mean, what am I missing here?
I don't think you're missing. I think I feel a little bit more strongly about McCarthy than even you, which is very, very odd because I haven't run into many. I think he's a good quarterback prospect. The problem is similar to like Michael Pittman. I like Michael Pittman, but problem is, and I like Jaylen Waddle. And even in some sense, I could have liked Deontay Johnson a lot more than I liked him. Problem is the valuation and how high people hold players like everyone I just named, McCarthy included. They hold them their expectation too high, and it makes me like come in and tear it down. And I don't want to be negative to McCarthy, but McCarthy should be getting drafted as the clear like 12. 13, 14, 15, 16 overall player. Like, that's still high. That's still very good. But he needs to be a guy you're bringing in. And you have Laporta, then I take Devontae Smith. Oh, you start two tight ends. If you're mandatory start two tight ends, Thomas, I take Kincaid. If you've already got one and you can only start one, then I go with Devontae Smith. But the Kincaid in a 0.5 more per reception is great, Thomas. So take the tight end. So McCarthy had a good pro day. It was not perfect. It was not elite, like beyond all pro days we've ever seen. It was good. It was really good. He had a really good pro day. But guess what? Everybody has almost a really good pro day. Guess who had an amazing pro day? Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson had as good a pro day, if not, you could say, we'll call it as good as McCarthy. Identical.
Mm-hmm.
Identical little throws. And a lot of people are like, look at that throw. Sometimes this throw that everybody's so enamored with at the pro day is a launch ball into the air so high that the wide receiver is going to run under it no matter what. And those are the ones that get picked off in the NFL. So not all that impressive to me. I'm more impressed by a quarterback that keeps his football lower. Like you're wanting to throw footballs. I mean, sometimes you're going to throw a streak downfield, you know, with no time left, right? It's supposed to be potentially a pass people could pick off or catch randomly, you know, in a jump ball setting. But I'm not enamored by the Zach Wilson throw, the little roll out and throw off the back leg. If anything, you shouldn't be throwing off your back leg. Like you should be able to do
Herbert
it.
Laser
but
beam.
But you don't, you don't, if you know. Throw off your back leg on some of these throws, you're showing that you don't have the ability to step into your throw, and nobody really wants, it's like almost like doing a trick around the back through the legs, like layup, like, oh, pretty cool. But like your coach or whoever's scouting you wants to see you do it the way you're doing it in the game. I'm not enamored. Mm-hmm. I'm not enamored by McCarthy at all. I think McCarthy has a chance to be a top 12 to 15 quarterback in the National Football League, which is very good. Could he become Matthew Stafford good? Sure. And can that win you a Super Bowl in the right setting? Sure. Absolutely. Does that mean he's a great quarterback? No. Does that mean he's elite? No. Could JD5 be great and elite? Yes. Could McCarthy be? In my opinion, no. But McCarthy can be really good. So that's the only thing people say. I hate him. I don't hate him. I'm just tearing him down to size a little bit. And the same thing with Michael Pittman Jr. When people think he's like a wide receiver 5 or 6, I'm like, okay, I don't hate Michael Pittman. Why you guys keep doing this to me? But when you say top 5 or 6, I got to tear him down to size. He's an elite wide receiver 2, maybe. If no other wide receiver gets drafted to Indy, they bring in Brian Thomas Jr. in Indy. They bring in Rome Odunze in Indy. Pittman's in a wide receiver 2 afterthought. He can be no more than a almost watered down Jordan Addison. When Jordan Addison was getting Kirk Cousins, you know, as his quarterback, that kind of action. Jordan Addison was really good, but that's the most you're ever going to get out of Pittman. You're going to get a watered-down version of that. Like, so, and Indy's very much in the mix to go get a wide receiver. Very much.
Mm-hmm. I saw your running back show, and I noticed you interviewed Rashad White, didn't you?
I went live with him on IG. I wouldn't call it a planned interview, but I went live with him.
But Smitty, you broke my heart.
Why?
You didn't put him in your top 10.
Well, he is in the top 10. He's in the top 10 cluster right here. But you're also talking about a guy that averaged well below 4 yards per carry that has a threat of maybe seeing a rookie come in, and they were definitely not pleased with his between the tackle work, and he's not immune to a running back coming in and taking some work. I would say this running back class is weak enough to not threaten Kyren. Any running back could land on the Rams roster, and I don't even care. I don't want it. I don't want the drama around it. I wouldn't mind the handcuff version of that. Like, you get Braylon Allen, and Kyren goes down a little bit in price. Maybe it ends up being a blessing in disguise. But Kyren and Braylon Allen, I'd cuff it, but I'm not worried about it. It like I said, it could be very crafty if he was to get knocked down to, like, 3.1. That would be great. But there are certain running backs on here that cannot be affected by any of this rookie running back class, because the rookie running back class is mediocre. Like Hall, nothing's going to happen to Hall. Gibbs, nothing's going to happen to Gibbs. Barkley, nothing's going to happen to Barkley. JT, well, Moss did take from JT, but JT's health is the only thing standing his way. Jacobs not relinquishing a single carry to a rookie running back. Achan, he's got his role. He's fine exactly the way he is. McCaffrey, all these guys, all the guys in the top nine, no one's touching their workload. But if Braylon Allen or Blake Corum, even just off of name, walks into any one of these guys' situations, which is why they linger in 10, they're threatened. Rashad White facing Jalen Wright is threatened. Braylon Allen, threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trey Benson, threatened. White is guaranteed.
Guaranteed nothing.
I like him, but he's guaranteed nothing. Yards per carry were awful last year.
I didn't see his bad game, but against Green Bay, he looked like Le'Veon Bell to me. The time he was taking to do things and the vision. It was one of his best games, but it was one of Baker's best games too.
I mean, he was a moon man his rookie year. So clearly I love Rashad White, but I'm just telling you why he's not in the top 10. There's no room. Tell me who you're taking out of the top 10. I got him on the screen right here. Who are you taking out of the top 10 for Rashad White? Jacobs? JT? Barkley? I don't think so.
I'm going to say something mess with you. I heard one guy got a little fat, a little Eddie Lacy fat.
Who would that be?
Von Achan.
Oh, this guy? this guy right here?
Achan.
Yeah.
Achan is the man. His haters call him small,
but he is 9 feet tall.
Achan is the man.
Ask Vicky how tall Devon Achan is.
Answer the question. Who are you taking out? You called in and you're disappointed Rashad White wasn't in my top 10. I'm asking you, who are you taking out?
You put Derrick Henry in there, right?
Derrick Henry's in the cluster of 10.
So
you could take out Henry because he would be my 10 of this cluster. So if you want to put him 10, I mean, I got him in the cluster of conversation right here. But I'm just asking, are you taking Henry out then, or are you taking one of these guys out? Because I don't think you can put him in your top 9. Who are you going to take out? You can't take out JT, Barkley, Jacobs, or Achan.
Yeah,
Henry?
I mean, I like Achane. I know you're crazy. I mean, you've written his name down a lot of times.
Yeah, so don't get me started.
I will get started. You know, with your edits, you know the box score Bobby?
That's what I'm thinking you are right now with this commentary. Yeah,
well,
I know.
No, I've seen that in life, how many, you know, in the workplace, like people misinterpreting numbers. There's just box score Bobby. It goes on everywhere, you know?
Yeah. I think for anybody not to understand what Achane has done, like what he has done is remarkable for the amount of time he's played football. This is, you know, you got to cherry pick the amount of carries. Like, you can't just say he's got the highest yards per carry in NFL history unless you, you know, dumb the number down for attempts in order to be qualified. You got to go off a guy that had, you know, 100 carries or whatever. But if you do include that number of carries that he has had, he's the number one running back in NFL history in yards per carry. And I'm not saying that he'll necessarily continue on the exact pace, but who's to say he doesn't end up being the number one running back once he starts qualifying for more to be in a bigger group, the number one player in NFL history in yards per carry. Achane had, according to this data, top five finishes. He's had four. He had four top five finishes, bro. Four top five finishes, and only played. Let's see, how many games did he play? He played
12, maybe.
Achane played. I'm just going to calculate it. I just want to get the official 11. So 11 games. So 11 games played. Guess how many times he was outside the top 30 running backs? Three times, which isn't a great stat. But Breece Hall was outside the top 30 three times. Etienne outside the top 30 three times. Mixon outside the three times. You know who was outside the top 30 seven times? James Cook.
Ooh.
James Cook. James Cook and Gus Edwards are probably the worst running backs in the National Football League, given their prominent roles. And I can give you more stats than that too. Like Gus Edwards and James Cook are arguably the worst running backs in the league that have this prominent role because of the inconsistent usage in James Cook's case. You know, has a lot to do with it. Like, look at Singletary getting misused. Look at any Zach Moss getting misused in Buffalo and then going elsewhere and doing well. I like Zach Moss a lot right now, especially as ADP is not climbing. But you're talking about Gus Edwards and James Cook, by the data, are probably the worst running backs to draft this year based on the data. And I'll have more on that. They're going to be two huge voids for me.
Well, that Yahoo discussion board was just people complaining about Batavius Murray for James Cook all year. Yeah. And Zamir White, some people were complaining about Davante Adams, I saw. I think in the last game they were saying, like, why isn't Zamir getting the ball? You know, is Davante chiming in a little too much or something? So,
yeah. I've got some running back data videos coming out that are going to blow you guys' freaking mind. Some of them are bus related. Some of them are, you know, statistically advantageous to the player to the point where we're like, how are they not a top two running back or one running back or top five running back, or depending on how deep we go on each video. But a lot of running back videos coming. Running back data is probably the most valuable data. I think wide receiver data is great, but, you know, there's a lot of reasons why a wide receiver might not have good stats for half a year. Quarterback related, there's a lot of reasons. And if you can point to those reasons, it makes the data more valuable. But running back data is so important because the team's either using the player or not, and you got to determine that, right? Achane wasn't used in the beginning of the year, and initially he was out week one even. But when you look at Achane's data and you say, damn, this guy had 4 top 5 running back finishes and he only played 11 games. That is insane. It's insane. Mm-hmm. And you even look at Achan's final week 17 performance. I don't really even count week 18 because of how teams use players. He was number 8. He was number 8 in week 17. He was number 52 and 29 and 24 the 3 weeks prior, number 3 the week prior than that. So, like, the fact that this guy wasn't utilized in a chunk of these games, and some people might say that's the problem, he's sharing carries, whatever. He finished 1, 5, 4, and 3, and 8. Played 11 games, and I just gave you top 10 finishes. Achan played, he had 5 top 10 finishes, 4 top 5 finishes in 11 games. That's insane. That's insane. He was almost a top 10 running back in 50% of his games played.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Ethan, last thing, Ethan. You're getting greedy here. Last thing.
So this won me my lead. So I have Kyren Williams, right?
Put this
I
guy
saw the mechanism of injury. I was 1-5, right? And I was like, oh, boy, I need to win. I need to win now.
Put this guy
I traded him. And you said anyone can be traded. I knew he was going to be going on injured reserve before they even said it. And I traded him for Joe Mixon because Joe Burrow was coming back. Would you have done that?
Say the trade again. I'm sorry. I lost train of thought. What is the...
I traded Kyren Williams when I was 1-5 and I needed a win. When I saw him get injured, for the next week, I got Joe Mixon when Joe Burrow was coming back.
No, it's a dumb trade.
It won me the league.
I don't care. What's gonna do for your future?
Well, it was redraft. You know, I needed to win.
Oh, redraft.
I needed to get in the playoffs.
Well, sure. I mean, I guess you did good. Great. Okay. Awesome job.
I was 1-5.
I'm still mad at you but good job. You did good.
Yeah.
I guess you did good. I don't know. Like, calculate the stats. Maybe you still would have won the league. Maybe you would have won it greater by keeping Kyren. I mean, Kyren scored a touchdown, rushing touchdown. In 12 games, he scored 15 total touchdowns. So maybe you almost lost because of the trade. I will say Joe Mixon.
I barely made the playoffs.
Yeah, so I don't condone it. You know, take a lap. I gotta go, Ethan.
Have a good one.
Call him later. All right, let me go to Sebastian again real quick for a final wrap-up and then over to Travis. Go ahead, Sebastian. I don't smell
your proof. Speaking of your running back, one, I think A-Town is honestly above CMC. I think A-Town should be on 5, but that's up to you. I wanted to ask
Thank
a
you.
Question. What are your thoughts on Pacheco? Because Brad State, as he looks, I feel like there's a lot of risk with him, whether it's injury, you know how KC just changes things up every couple of years with the running back position. Because I really do think they can just find someone. Like, the draft class is split, maybe it's a three-way split. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't think he's super safe. He's had two top five finishes, and he was on the Moon Man list last year. He did very, very well. But he's had 2 top five finishes and 4 top 10. He's had 6 times he was outside of running back 20. So he's not safe. I think he's a good player. Depends where you can get him. If you've got to take him at 3.1, it's too high. If you get to take him a lot later than that, then I like him. But there's certainly a lot of risk involved. KC does not commit to running backs. They seem to want to commit to him, but we have no guarantee of that. And what have we learned out of KC year in and year out? We think we have a handle on what they want for their running back situation coming out of a season. They never, ever replicate what they ended the season with. Ever. Look at Damian Williams. He would have an amazing Super Bowl and playoff run, and you're like, he's going to do well the next year. They don't even use him. And then the next year, he does it again. Damian Williams comes on strong, and you're like, okay, finally. Okay, he did it 2 years in a row. Nothing. What does McKinnon do? Absolute top 1-5 running back his final like 7-8 games. Not one game, not 2 games. McKinnon was a monster. McKinnon was a top 1-5 running back. I think he was number 1 twice in the final 7 weeks. He beat Christian McCaffrey out 2 years ago. And walking into the next season, nothing. So we don't have a track record at all of KC being consistent with the running back from the end of 1 year to the beginning of the next. And we can speculate they finally will, but we have no evidence of that, really, at the end of the day. So I really believe he's a good value if you're able to get him, like, in the, I don't even know what his ADP is right now. Let me look at Underdog Fantasy promo
like
code Smitty. Promo code Smitty. Get your match your 20 up to $100 in your first deposit. The ADP for Pacheco is right at running back 14, and he's going at 54 overall. So running back 14, 54 overall, that's pretty, that's not too costly right now. Let me just take a gander real quickly at a couple things. So 54 overall puts him at right around the middle of round number four or round number five. That's fine. 54? Is he really going that late? Let me see. That would be okay. That would be acceptable. Yeah, he went 57 in this draft I'm looking at. So 57 in a draft I'm looking at right here. That's fine. That's acceptable. If he climbs into the third round or something, then it's a total risk. But the question is, do I like ETN in round four better than him and than Pacheco in round four? Yes, I like ETN more. Do I like James Cook or Pacheco anywhere in four? No, I don't. I'd rather have DK. I'd rather have Kelsey. I'd rather have, a handful of players. Mahomes. I'd rather have Trey McBride. I mean, I could give you a handful of players. I'd rather have CJ Stroud than James Cook.
You like ETN? Super inefficient.
Oh, is he? Third running back last year? Real inefficient.
For carry?
what do you want? What do you want from him? He finished 1, 2, 4, 5 in 6 and 9 in the first 8 games of the year. So like he did have a rough finish to the year because they overworked him and they ran him into the ground. But I wouldn't call that inefficient. I'd say he was running back 1 once, he was running back 2 once, he was running back 4 once, he was running back 5 once. He had 7 top 10 running back finishes. I think you're defining him strangely. I would say that he finished rough. He had a very, very like rough finish to the year because they wore him down. I would say that would be the better way to describe it. But do I like the third overall running back in round 4 or 5? Yeah, I do.
And you got to remember, yeah, if they can use him better, that was a problem. Like you said, they wore him down at the end. But he got way better in the red zone. He scored more touchdowns. And he had almost 500 receiving yards last year, too. So if they use him correctly, you know, you're going to see what you saw in the first half last year.
Yeah. I think people have a strange memory of how good he was last year. I mean, the guy was running back 3. He was running back 3. And imagine how good he would have been had he continued. You know, the fact that he's running back 3 while crapping kind of the bed on the way out the door for, like, the entirety of week 10 on, minus, like, week 17. He had, a top 6 running back production. He had he was running back, like, 30, 25, 20, 11, 14. 11, 14 weren't bad. You know, that wasn't bad, but 25, 46, 6, and 16. He had 3 times he was outside of the top 30 and 6 times he was outside of the top 20. You know, but Breece Hall was outside the top 20 8 times, but because they started him off slow. Breece Hall went on a tear, but he was outside the top 20, Breece Hall, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the last 10 weeks he was outside the top 20. So Hall had a great finish, but Hall also had some bad games, but he also had a horrible quarterback situation. So you got to value all that in. The thing that made Breece Hall explode is he was running back 3, running back 4, running back 7, and then he had a bunch of bad games. He was running back 2, then he was running back 60, then he was running back 1, 3, and 2 to finish his season. So Breece Hall skyrocketed up to number 2 overall. And so we're just hopeful that if Breece Hall can be that good and have consistent quarterback play all year, he'll probably linger in the top 10 as much as anybody on the consistent. But Breece Hall was very inconsistent, even when he was going full go. But he was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I think it's just that memory of how he finished last year. Because I had him on the team, and he killed me down the stretch. You know, and so that left a sour taste in people's mouths.
Once you got to week 16, if you made the playoffs in week 16, Breece Hall might have won you the championship because he was 1-3-2. So he's basically 1-2-3.
And then ETN might have lost you the championship.
CMC lost you the championship. CMC got injured. He's like running back 21 in week 17.
So it's a good lesson not to just focus on how a guy ended the season.
You know who was You know who is running back number one in week 17?
Is it Kyron? Think about it.
Kyron Williams.
Mashed potatoes!
Yeah, buddy.
He's consistent.
All right, boys. Superfish says Achan can't help it if guys can't catch him. For sure. Thank you, Superfish. I'm sorry I didn't read that one yet, but I had it on screen there. Superfish to the moon. Appreciate you. Well, on that note, boys, I'll be back tonight.
Yep.
I know I didn't come back last night. I said I would. I will be back tonight, though. I'll see you boys tonight.
How's it going?
Sebastian, anything else?
Not good.
Later, Travis. Appreciate you.
When's that running back video coming out? I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of running back videos coming out is what I'm saying about some statistical data on certain guys that I think I can create videos around, you know, by themselves. So we'll be doing individual, like, running back breakdown videos. Some of which, like, the data is just crazy. Like, similar to this Jaden Daniels information that I think people don't really understand. They don't get how good Jaden Daniels is. They don't get that when they say stupid stuff like Jaden Daniels is a weak arm. Like, you believe Jaden Daniels is a weak arm, call him to the show. I think someone in here yesterday, someone told me, I don't know who it was, but somebody was saying somebody in here was running their mouth about Jaden Daniels having a weak arm. The phone line's open. I'm waiting for that individual to call in. All right. Hey, Sebastian, we'll see you later, bro.
I appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right, call him tonight. Smitty, meaning don't penalize Achan for having so many long runs. Correct. Yeah, you know... You don't need as many carries when you're ripping off monster touchdown runs. I'm waiting for that Jaden Daniels hater to call in, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening. All right. On that note, there has been a JD5 and AR5 sighting where both fives have been seen at the same time.
There are two fives? JD5, AR5? There can't be.
Oh no.
They're gonna cross streams.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
Look at him. JD5. The next Lamar Jackson. Hopefully a Washington Commander. We talked today about it quite a bit. We're not sure if there's any real substance behind this. Oh, he's upset because of this group meeting, which really wasn't a group meeting. It was a group hangout at the end of individual Q&As, and they staggered the quarterbacks in individually, and everybody kept running with this story, and nobody's correcting it, because you know what? People don't like to be wrong. People don't like to shine the light on their wrong reporting. They did it. The Washington Commanders didn't handle this in the craziest way like everybody's trying to act like they did, and I don't know that Jaden Daniels is that pissed off about it, and if he is, it doesn't necessarily change the fact that if Adam Peters, an absolute monster scouting personnel decision maker, the best in the league, which is going to make him GM number one potentially. Behind Nick Caserio or Caserio ahead of him, they're neck and neck. These are the two best GMs in the National Football League right now. And Adam Peters just got the job, but he's been playing GM over in San Francisco for years. And they should have elevated him. They should have elevated John Lynch to another role, president of whatever, and brought Adam Peters in. I think Adam Peters wanted to go make his own way, though. And they could have offered that, and we don't know. But Adam Peters is a guy that knows talent, and this guy, Jaden Daniels, is easily the best quarterback. Easily. Caleb Williams. Hey, Caleb. Go get Jaden a coffee. Go get Jaden a coffee and do it now. Jaden Daniels is easily the top quarterback in this draft class. Backed by data, he's the best thrower in this class. He is the best arm consistency-wise. His yards per attempt percentage are better than anybody in the class in the last 10 years in FBS. And people just act like they know what they're talking about with JD5 when really they don't. Weak arm. He's got a weak arm, Smitty. He does. I'm waiting for that guy to call in. See you all tonight. I'll be back live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, which is what this show is, live when big news breaks. See you all tonight. Probably here on the main channel. I want to go live on the Dynasty channel, but there's a lot to go over main channel. Dial in. Don't forget, we'll be live during the entire NFL draft day one on Thursday. We'll probably be live, if not the entirety of day two, on and off on day two. So make sure you're here for it. Make sure you plan accordingly. Get your popcorn ready. Get your wing order ready. Your pizza order ready. We will be going live during the entirety of round one. Wait, so is Jaden Daniels a diva like Caleb Williams, like you say now, or are they just going to cherry pick and tear down Caleb? By diva, you mean what, TTV? What do you mean? Because his agent sent out a tweet? Where do you have evidence that Jaden Daniels is a diva or done anything diva-like? You don't have it. That's the problem. You don't have any evidence at all. You have a bunch of people trying to make something out of nothing. And maybe his agent went a little rogue on Twitter, but Jaden Daniels hasn't. Jaden Daniels has said very openly, publicly, on IG Live, he'll go wherever they take him. He's just blessed to be in this situation. So really, you're just making up stuff because you're so mad that Caleb's taking a lot of heat, is what you're doing. Sounds like you're cherry picking or trying to create something that isn't there. That cherry tree ain't even there to chop down, pal. Live Monday through Friday. Live whenever big news breaks. Appreciate every single one of you. Thank you all, my super chatters. We will be live later tonight.
Smitty, you're not hearing me. I don't know a lot about fantasy football. I know everything about fantasy football.
All right, prepare for take one. All right, action.
He's a box score, Bobby. He's a little sloppy.
Box score, Bobby.
He's a box score, Bobby. He's so sloppy.
Bobby.
See you all tonight. TTV says Jaden Daniels not happy with the group meeting in Washington. You said it, not me. Didn't say it. This is a posed question. And that's what people, the narrative that people are painting out there. I put the narrative up and I shot it down this entire live stream. My guy, pay attention. Read the room. Hour and 33 minutes of me telling you that everybody's narrative. God, did you not watch anything? Bro, did you not watch? Like, did you just come out at the end and just comment or something? Like, that question is what we talked about for an hour and 33 minutes. What are you doing, man? What are you looking at? That's the posed question. That's what we broke down. Jaden Daniels not happy with group meeting. Is that true? I said no for an hour and 33 minutes. Are you not paying attention or watching and just coming in and commenting? At least be honest, bro. At least be honest. God, man.
Got him.
Your Bijan card has been revoked.
Unbelievable. Live at 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Everybody. What are we thinking with JD5's elbow? What are you concerned about? There's nothing wrong with his elbow. All right. See you all later. The people spreading around the elbow rumors again. His elbow is bad. Just make sure Chicago thinks his elbow is bad. Then once Chicago passes on him, thank God, and they take Caleb. Then we'll let everybody know what's really going on.
Revenge Tour!